I'm not sure why it is, but you people hold a special spot in my heart. Every time I come, I'm so happy to see you and to share some time with you. I was just really glad that our brother prayed for before my, I was almost thinking if I get up here, they don't have prayer first, so I'm going to ask someone to pray. So thank you. Because I feel like I need it. And trying to get too many things ahead, and it's kind of interesting. On the way up here, we were a ways off yet, and we get this text from, I don't know why Lyndon did this to me before I even got here. I wonder about the message for Sunday, and I said to Sonia, I said, no, this time I need fed. And we drove for a while, and after a while she says to me, well, maybe they need some encouragement. And I felt like I needed encouragement. And so we thought about that and thought about it and got here. And it seemed like the Lord started to knock on my heart a little bit. And then this brother this morning, I think he's a little bit wrong, who's tied this on prayer this morning. He talked about using God for a spare tire. I think we would all have to admit we do that pretty much, even though that's not the right way, is it? We use God. We sometimes, Lyndon was having trouble, and a lot of times, you know, we sang that song, Take Everything to God in Prayer, and sometimes we just don't. I'm not sure why. Especially, we sort of think that God doesn't seem to have a connection sometimes to that track hole, Lyndon, that was broke down at home. I don't know how many times I've had a job, I'm working on something, and I lose a part, or I can't get it fixed. And you know, my pride sometimes is I don't even want to ask God to help me with this. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. It must be a Durstein thing. But after a while, humbly bowing before God, and he suddenly helps me overcome this problem. So I want to, the brother was right, but I the thought of using him as a spare tire, I'm afraid that's a little too much in us sometimes, for me especially. So, yeah. So this morning, I'm going to share on Psalm 84, and I'm going to write it on the board because I really love to see our young people look up these verses and follow after. Now, I like to use the board. You'll find that out because probably I'm an introvert or extrovert, and it helps me so much to see things. I'll just introduce another little thought. But just recently, not so long ago, we had Chester Weaver in with us, and he shared with us there. And I found out he was just up in La Crete. And he does, pictures are half of his message, at least. And the group we were with there when he was with us, they connected so well to what he said. He was sharing his pictures. I can't do that. I don't have the capability Chester did. But I just want to share that much. So you children, you young people, young men, young women here, Psalm 84. And it's interesting how God leads us in different ways. But I wanted to preach on Matthew 7 this morning. And I might even touch on that in the end if we get enough time. But we probably won't get enough time. But for some reason, the Lord took me to Psalm 84. And I thought, well, I'll just share someone's song and I'll get to Matthew 7. But this thing just grew. I don't know if you ever know what that is like when it grows. Like it just grew and grew. So I want to read. I'm going to probably just take it a verse or two at a time because you can all read ahead. It's just a very short chapter. But I am going to look at a few other scriptures. First of all, in Psalm 84, I think about some things, and I'm going to try not to branch out too much because things come to my mind. Psalm 84, he says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And I'm going to just take that verse there, and I have a side-by-side King James and Amplified. And I find it amazing. Then sometimes I look at the NIV yet too. And every once in a while, you will find where King James clipped it pretty short. A little bit like we do sometimes, we'll say one thing in one word, and it can mean, it can really be quite a bit more yet too. Well, the Bible would have got too big if they did all, you know what I mean. But in Amplified, he says, "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts." And then he says, "My soul, my life, my inner self longs for and greatly desires the courts of the Lord." I should have read that from King James. Let me read this second verse from there. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Now, I underline that, and I'm gonna open this up a little bit so our young people can get more out of this, and us older ones too. But you think about greatly desires. My soul fainteth, he says, greatly desires the courts of the Lord. Now I thought about that. Let's think about that a little bit. It's inside, it's away, it's protected. You find protection there. It's a place of warmth, a place of love, a place of welcome. And it's a place where my heart and my soul and my flesh sing for joy. If you can get a picture of what David was saying, how he just loved to go to the house of the Lord. And there he had all this safety. You know, it should be, and I think it is largely, we can come in here and we can sit down with the brothers and sisters and sing and pray together, and so many of them temptations are far away. They don't bother us here, do they? That's the way it should be. Our preaching and our teaching should be of such that people are here and they're involved, but those temptations are far away. Now, I know Satan can stand right here and knock on your shoulder. I realize that if we let him. But we have a choice in that. Now, I want to go further yet. And this next part I find beautiful. And I'm going to probably share some stories this morning. But look down here at verse 3. "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young." And I'm going to stop there for now. I want to try to make sure I go back to that. But do you get a picture? I don't really know how the temple was built, but it was big. There have been a lot of places people couldn't have reached to very easy. But there he says, "Yeah, the sparrow found safety and then built a nest up there, and the swallow built a nest up there." And I want to share a little swallow story, and because it's near to my heart, and there's so many things in this psalm that touch my heart. But think about the safety. The swallow found a place to lay her young, to have her young. In our house, we have swallows around there. And there's something that's impressive to me about the swallows. We can sit out on our porch and they will just come in around us. They seem like they trust us, even though we've been quite mean with them. But I have a real warm spot for the swallows for some reason, because they're so sweet. They're just so trusting. Well, I think it was 2 years ago, there was one that built its nest above our one window. And to my wife's displeasure, I said, "Let's let it there. She's worked so hard building that nest." And I mean, I'll admit, it made a real mess. It really did. It messed our windows up. I want this to touch mothers' hearts and fathers' hearts. But there that we watched, that we sit out in the porch, and there they were. So many in that nest, they hardly fit in. You wondered, how did they get in there? And they were just, as they grew, we were going to have to fly any day. And I kept on worrying about it. I had two vicious cats there that were watching these swallows, and they're watching this nest up here. And And one day we were going, I can't understand, don't remember how it was. I don't know if we went to church or it was a Saturday, it seems like, and my neighbor man was there. And we kept on thinking every day I'd watch, he's well, yeah, they're still in, they're still in. Well, anyways, we come home and they're gone. Now, I want to tell you something. So my neighbor told me that he was looking up there and he heard this commotion and our cat, one of the cats was up all over the porch swatting at this, at these starlings trying to grab them and they would swoop down, you know, and on top of the grill, on top of the swing, everywhere. Well, I come home and this kind of broke my heart then. And I came home and over here in the corner of the porch was a little bit of feathers, and they looked like adult feathers. I have a feeling Mama gave her life so them little ones could get away. I really think that's what happened, because in the evenings, those little ones, young ones, were coming back in there to roost. And it just, it touched my heart as I thought about mothers gave their life. Their mama Swalla gave her life. Well, here's a picture of peace and tranquility where the Swalla found a place of safety to lay her young. That Swalla didn't have enough of a, because I had a vicious cat, she didn't have a very safe place. Now, I want to go to that next little phrase. Us older ones, let's look at this a little bit here. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I would like to ask something. I know you probably aren't used to much open discussion, but what are the altars today? Maybe a youth could answer that. What is the altars today? What altars are we talking about? Anyone? Even your altars. Our hearts. Our hearts. Have you thought about that? The altars here this morning. He's looking on and they're beautiful. Altars, just take a look at that there. Altars. There he's coming in, he's seeing all this place. He's even saying that the sparrow and the swallow are finding places of rest. But there he's looking on, now he sees the altars. And this morning I think about the altars all through this group. Are they beautiful? Are they offering up praises? Are they filled with the love of God? Are they just offering up for a sweet savor to God? The altars. I wonder if you can put in words, as you think about the altars in 4, verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, and they will be still praising thee. Now, I have imagination a lot, and I think about that, how that's worded in the King James. And in the Amplified, he says, blessed and greatly favored are those who dwell in your house and in your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Now, I want to combine them too. You get a picture here of altars, and you get a picture here of people who know God and are going to his house. And there they have altars that are praising God. I like that he says that in the end of King James. They are doing what? He's saying something about them. They are still praising thee. You get it? You see there people who haven't, they're not discouraged, they're not turned back, but they're still praising thee. And I like that, I'm talking about, that's what my whole message is about this morning. The continuing on. Living for Christ. We're going to come to another one a little bit later that I want to really talk about more. So there we got those who are still praising God all the time. They didn't stop. It never stopped. Now we have in verse 5. Let's go here to verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. If you go over to Amplified, it reads, blessed and greatly favored is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Now, there's a word, if you would look that up, and I'm going to write it on the board because I love it. And I went back and looked. From what I can tell, it's actually, it's maybe, I don't know why, but it seems like it's a little more what they were trying to say. But if you would look that up in King James, you would find that it says, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And I want to write this up here. Now, this is a word I spent a lot of time on. First of all, I would like to think about, they both kind of mean the same, but what is a pilgrim? Can someone tell me what a pilgrim is? What's a pilgrim? Pardon? I thought I heard somebody. You aren't very responsive. What's a pilgrim?
Traveling through the world.
Traveling? Okay, but you hit pilgrimage. What's a pilgrim? Okay, maybe I'm splitting hairs, but I actually spent some time looking at this. A pilgrim is someone who's in a country that's not theirs. It's not their country. Pilgrimage is traveling. You're right. Now, I want you, now maybe I'm splitting hairs, but I want you to get that. The blessed is, you think about the person, now let's first go back to verse 5. The person whose strength is in God, that's the first part of the verse. But what I want you to get, he says, now this is what I want you to get, everyone here, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, on traveling. Do you get it? You're a stranger here. And here even David brings this very same thought out of people who are in pilgrimage. They're traveling. They're not here. They're not here to stay. Their hearts are set on it. He says their hearts are set on traveling. Is your heart set on traveling this morning, on pilgrimage? Is it really set on it? This really, I'm going to tell you, this is the one where my whole message start to come to life from. I start to question myself, is my heart set on pilgrimage, on traveling? Here David, way back there in the Old Testament, he talked about people whose hearts were set on pilgrimage, on traveling. That's a very spiritual example I want you to get. We're foreigners. We're traveling. We're not staying here. Now, who all knows that? That's what really struck me. Does who all knows that I'm a stranger? You know, when I went over to Bangladesh, they all knew I didn't belong there. It didn't take them very long to figure it out. I couldn't even talk their language. And we shouldn't know the language of the world, should we? But I couldn't even talk their language. And after being there for how many times, I got enough words that I could get around. But they didn't have to think very far, they didn't have to hear me very much, and no, I don't really know how to speak their language. And I still don't. But I was a foreign land, I was in this world. I didn't fit into their culture very good. In a lot of ways. I just didn't fit into their culture very good. I loved them, and they certainly had a lot of love for us, those who found the Lord especially. But there, I want you to think about that. Whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, whose hearts are set on traveling. I didn't read, I wanted to, Amplified does not use the word pilgrimage. I was actually surprised. NIV does. And I looked at several other versions, and they do too. So then I start looking in the dictionaries, and I found out that's really what it's saying. We're on a pilgrimage. Amplified uses, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion? In whose hearts is the highway to Zion? So there, same thought traveling. Now, when we are traveling in pilgrimage, like he's saying, and we have the first part of that verse in place, the person whose strength is in God, let's go to verse 6. We get a little different side here now. Passing, verse 6 here, who passing through the valley of Baca or valley of weeping. I love this next part. Passing through the valley of sorrow, the valley of weeping, they make it a well. A rain also filleth the pools. They make it a place of springs, is what Amplified says. And you think about, what is a spring? A spring is life bringing. It's life coming up, springing up. And I want you to get this here. The person whose strength is in the Lord, and we come into the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrow. It becomes the place of springs. Yeah, a place of springs. They make it a place of springs. And he talks about there's pools of water there. Now, I thought about something. I was thinking this morning real hard on a comparison that. In Pennsylvania, when I grew up, my mother, you know why I'm saying this is, it talks another place of the early rains, the early spring rains, and another one I looked up. And you know, here, and I think in our country, in our place in California, our early spring rains are not very nice. It's usually cold and windy and blowing, these early spring rains. But my mother always gave the quote when we lived in Pennsylvania, is April showers bring May flowers. You see what I'm getting at? We may have to weep, but it brings springs of joy later. But it's going to be only those whose strength is in God, like the first part of verse 5. Those whose strength is in the Lord, when they go through the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrow, they can turn it into springs of joy. Now that's going to be a challenge for everyone here. When you, the next time you come to a valley of weeping, you can turn it into springs of joy, he says. He says they will. They will turn it into springs of joy. Now, I know I'm weak, and so I don't want to say too much more about that. I'm not sure I've done a very good job of that. Springs of life, refreshing rains, early rains coming. Now, we're going to branch out a little bit more. And go to verse 7 now with me. Verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. I wanted to write that on the board here, strength to strength. Now, I should erase some here. That thought there of strength to strength. It's saying that when we find ourselves dwelling in the house of the Lord like this, we're going to go from strong to stronger. You understand that, Lane? Strong, it's not Lane. Looked like Lane, I thought. Strong to stronger, sorry. I don't see Lane. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm right. I thought you looked like I was wrong. I'm sorry, Lane. Strong to stronger, though. Now, I want you to get that, young people here. Strong to stronger. We're going to dwell on this point quite a bit. Now, I want to turn to another verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and this carries through the New Testament. Strength to strength, strong to stronger. In other words, you have a little plant you plant in the garden that comes up very, very fragile. And that thing gets stronger and stronger. I think I'm going to give it, I hate to give a negative example, but we have these awful thistles in our country there. And they start out really small. You can go out and just pop them out of the ground in the spring. But I'm telling you, you get halfway through summer and you work to get them out. And by the end of summer now, they're like trees. You can't hardly snap that thing with a shovel. You slam and hurt your hands. And now that's the other side. That's how sin works too. It starts out so little and it grows and grows. After a while, you can't hardly get it out. And finally, it takes a digging around it to get it out. That's how sin is. But now we have also the positive side here. The person whose dwelling place is in the Lord, they go from strength to strength. They get stronger and stronger. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this is another verse that has always blessed me as I looked at it so many times through my life. And here we have, in the first part of this chapter, he's talking about going from the old covenant to the new covenant. And what I like about that, I'm very slow at getting there. Second Corinthians 3, verse 18. He says, and we all with unveiled face continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. I want to read it from the King James, I'm sorry. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now what he brought there was like, those who were already serving God in the old covenant, as they came into the new covenant, they went from one glory to a much greater glory. Now here, I don't want to lose this thought of from strong to stronger, people who are staying and dwelling in the house of the Lord, those who are in God's word, they get from strong to stronger. They keep on getting strength, stronger and stronger. And I like that thought because as adults sitting here, that's what should have been happening in our lives. We should be, and we're going to get about this continuing in a little bit here. I'm going to turn, how many of you can just quote with me Romans 12, verse 2? You might have to help me. Why don't you all stand? It looks like we're getting sleepy. I don't know. I'm trying to keep this awake. But Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let me be seated. Thank you. Do you get it there? Strong to stronger as people of God. Strong to stronger. Now, I want to take you to 1 John, and I want to dwell on this point of strong to stronger and continuing on in strength. 1 John 2. Could I have a drink of water? For some reason, I'm really dried up. Thank you. 1 John 2 here, verses 12 through 14. I'm going to just take this a little bit at a time. Okay, there in Psalm 84, he said, strength to strength. 1 John 2, 12, He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I want you to think about the first step it's going to take before you can begin growing. We need to have our sins. We need to realize we are sinners. And I want to really be careful how I express this, but I think this is a failure in us today, is for me, myself, to realize that I'm a sinner who needs grace every day. I need grace every day. I need it. I'm a sinner by nature. Now, I want the nature of Christ where that isn't that way, but for me to, there's, thank you. I think sometimes we older ones have this little thing we hold up that we're kind of perfect. Or, you know what's sad about that is I want to be careful how I express all this, but I've just heard young people talking about this, of having fathers that they knew weren't living in victory, but they were tough. You know what? It caused rebellion. We as fathers need to be a repenting people, going to our children, confessing our faults to them. They see them every day. They see them. Your anger at them at times. Oh, or something went wrong and they know you're angry. But they need to be hearing you pray in repentance. They need to be hearing you asking them for repentance. We need that. Our children need to see that. You know what it's going to do? It's going to make them realize that God, a father and mother, really love Jesus. That's what's going to happen. They're going to realize, here's my dad and mom really love Jesus. They need to hear us repenting. Now, first of all, our sins need to be taken away before there's going to be any strength to strength. It's never going to happen as long as those things are in my life. You all know what it is to have a bunch of weeds in the field. The crop just doesn't do well until those weeds are taken away. But if they get too big, you really can't hardly get the weeds out. We're not going to go down that line. Sins are taken away. Now, can you get a picture from a life? We have turned now from a life that's full of sin, and we've been forgiven. Forgiven. I don't know if you can get a picture of that. Forgiven. You know what comes to my mind? I wish I could say his name, and someone here might be able, but there was this judge, and they say it was the kindest judge that ever lived. And he just died at, I think, 88 years old now. Did you read? You know what I'm saying about. And I seen one time where this stands out to me, where he was being very kind, but he did want this person to pay a little bit of their fine, because he had it up on the board. They had done wrong. And he just 20, I think it was just $20. And she says, I don't have $20. And somebody else got up and said, here's $20. You know, that's what it is, what Jesus does. We can't pay it. We can never pay that debt. But someone else is going to have to pay. And Jesus does that. That's what he does. That's the whole. You just get, let's think a little bit about Jesus there on the cross, looking down, saying, Father, forgive them. There he is, pleading with God for people. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to take them away. He loves to take them because you're his child. He wants you back. I thought about what Harold, I just love that Ezekiel. I think, was that Ezekiel, Harold? I think that's in Ezekiel 34, if I'm remembering right. But I've read that so many times. I remember as a youth being hurting and reading that, and I couldn't help but cry when I read it. Oh, the love and empathy Jesus had as he says that he's going to go over every high mountain looking for the lost. He's going to go there. And he sure crossed the high mountain to get to me. I realized that. But Oh, that's so amazing. And I remember my children growing up when I'm telling them the Lammy story, and they loved the Lammy story. Oh, I'd have to tell it every night. And now I kind of forget all the details, and I added a few, you know, in there. But I always got to the end where he picked up that little lamb and put it on his shoulders, and he carried it home. But before I would get there, after they knew the story so well, I would say, and he finally found it way down there with a broken leg, and he just said, oh, I'm not worried about it. I'm going home. No, Dad. Can you get the picture of Jesus, though? No, God, no. Don't condemn him. I'm here pleading for that soul. That's how Jesus is. I don't know if you can get a picture of that. And God is condemned. I'm condemned. You're condemned. But Jesus is saying, no. Wait a little bit. Okay, we need to move on because I really want to get to this next part. There, let's end up that one with Jesus interceding. Now we go to verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Are you getting it? You have known him. It's been a lifelong trek. And I think about people sitting here maybe today, maybe Jesse, you're struggling with this, and they'd say, well, it wasn't a lifelong trek. I've made too many mistakes. I remember one day, I'm going to give a little example of my youngest son, Delvin. He gave his heart to the Lord, and then things went kind of wrong for him. And one day we're sitting in the living room, and he goes, Dad, I think I've missed it. I think I've missed it. And he was trying to figure out what to do. And he said, I think I was too young when I tried to give my heart to the Lord. So I wasn't strong enough. And he was going over these lines. And I'm sitting there struggling. And I said to him, it was in the night. And I said, let's go get a shower. And I'm back there praying as I'm getting my shower. And it just come to me. Just start right now. We went out. We met together. And I said, you know, Dylan, it doesn't matter. Just start right now. You don't have to go back and say, well, I missed it back here. I'm going to have to go back there and start over. No. Let's just start right now. And we knelt together and we prayed together and he found peace and it was over. It was over. That's what I would encourage you. If you feel like you missed it, just start right now. Come to Jesus. He's there waiting for you. It's a beautiful picture. But I want you to get a picture here. First of all, let's think about dads. People who are, I think of older people, I don't know why, I guess it's not always true, but they have known God from the beginning. They know God. When you get to know God, you'll get to know him, and he's personal. He's going to be your friend. You can't know God without being close to him. And now let's go on to the next one. And I'm going to. I wanted to say there, fathers and mothers. I want to include you because I see that here. It's plural. And now we have young men and young women here. He says, "I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one." It's people who are growing and maturing in Christ. I love the thought of plants. Plants that grow and they grow. And the soil around them is clean and fertile because God's word is just there and they're growing. They're growing. I write unto you, young men. That's what he says. Because you have overcome. But then he also talks to those who are very new in the faith. And he calls them children. You will notice that at the end of the verse. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I had something shared with me recently about the young and the old, the weak and the growing. But remember, especially those who are older, who have lived lives of sin, maybe come to Christ. But my cousin shared this with me. The old man's a lot older than the new man. And he's a lot stronger without Jesus. But remember that. The old man's a lot older than the new man. He knows all your weaknesses. He knows everything about you. He knows how he's going to try to come back. And I just want you to remember that. But it's no excuses. But there, I just love that thought. It really just hit home with me because I knew what he meant. The old man knows all my weak spots, and he's going to come back in all my weakest points and try to take me back. But he says here, notice what he says, little children, because you have known the Father, you have come into a relationship with God now. And he says, there, you've come into relationship with God. Now let's go to verse 14, and I find this interesting. He repeats again to fathers and mothers, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Again, fathers and mothers, from the beginning, it's a daily walk with God. You have been daily walking with God. He says, I'm writing to you. What's he writing? Well, you can read the rest of 1 John. You'll see what he's writing. Because you have known him that's from the beginning. That's a daily, people who are having a daily walk with God. A daily walk with God. And then he addresses the young men and the young women again. Here in verse 14, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I love that thought. It's those who are growing and maturing in Christ. And then he says, again, he addresses the very young in the faith again. Maybe I read both of them together. No, I didn't. I must have messed up here in my notes. But I think about knowing the Father, and I don't have time to go into this one, but what kind of Father? What kind of Father is God to you? I had really thought about bringing a message on. Years ago, I brought you one. When we came back from Bangladesh the last, I brought a message on who is Jesus. And I'd like to sometime at home, I've been thinking about this. Who is your Jesus? Who is your Jesus? But here, what kind of fathers are we talking about? Our children to look up to? Our fathers. Okay, there's one thing I've been missing, and I wanted to think more on that, but this continuing on, that's pilgrimage. That's the part I want you to get. That's pilgrimage, where he says that in 13 and 14, I've written unto you because you are continuing on. That's pilgrimage. That's traveling on. We're pilgrims here. We're strangers here. We don't fit in this world. So I love that thought, seeing a father and a mother and a husband and a wife who are continuing on in pilgrimage. And it's very noticeable. It should be very noticeable that this world is not my home. It should be very noticeable. You're going to be talking about your new home, aren't you? When dads and moms are building a new house, their children can't get done talking about that new house they're building. And me and you should be talking about our new home. Now, I would like to do it, but we're going to go to the next verse here, and we're running out of time so fast. But I'm going to go and jump ahead here. First of all, I would like to say a Bible verse again. But who can quote 2 Timothy 2:15? Because the young people here, the young ones, and the youth are strong because of what? The word of God is in them. Who can quote 2 Timothy 2:15 quickly? I think I can. Help me out. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We missed a phrase, I think, didn't we? Okay. But that's amazing. So there you have the thought, young people. Now, I'm going to say a little thing that I just heard recently. A young person committed a sin somewhere. This is far away from here. And they said they never knew it was wrong. I said, when the person was telling me, I said, did they grow up in a Christian home? Yes. Did they go to church all their life? Yes. You see what happens? You'll never know unless you're in God's word, into this word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Oh, what a shame. Who is able to rightly divide the word of truth. When you're out there, recently we went through a park with and meeting many, many homeless people. Sad, sad lives. One of them stands out to me. I was there talking to him. And I often ask this, but it doesn't always work. But this one it did. I said, do you have a mother? Yeah, he says, I have a mother and a grandmother. I said, do they pray for you? They're always praying for me. I said, so what happened? He said, I just got into the wrong group. And he said, I want to go home, but I'm afraid to go home. And so I shared with him the prodigal son story of the father. I said, do you think your mother will come running to you when she sees you? Oh, and he broke down. He started crying. He said, yeah, no, my grandmother will too. They'll come and they'll... But he said, I'm so terrible. I said, well, yeah, but they're waiting for you to come back. And there we prayed with him. We prayed with this man, and he just wept away. Do you realize how many of those poor homeless people wish they could be different? They're in bonds and grips of chains. And they don't know how to get free, but Jesus can set them free. We must help them. If we can somehow help them get free, I thought about it. I wish I could go back, but I don't even know where I'd find him. He's just living there in this park. And so now we got off a little bit off track again. The thought of continuing in pilgrimage, and there we had that verse. And, you know, I missed a part here. I quoted verse 15, but does anybody know what verse 16 is? I don't think I can quite quote it. Harold, are you getting it? Someone got it? Read it. But shun profane... That's right. That's what I wanted to get. But shun profane and vain babblings. All this, you know, people say such awful things. And there's recently, I think it was in Shayla's coffee shop. A man came in there. He says, I'm not afraid of hell. He says, he was in the Vietnam War. I think so. He said, I'm not afraid. I've been there and back. And I realized they went through some horrible things there. But, you know, there's so many things like that. People make fun of God. They make fun of the gospel. They have bumper stickers that are mocking Christians on. And we have governors in place who are mocking the Christians, who are mocking godliness. But they will lead unto more ungodliness. Okay, I want to quickly cover one more point. We got verses 15 through 17. Love not. Love not. You get it? Love not. We're on a pilgrimage. Love not this world. When we're on pilgrimage, it's... You know, I even though Bangladesh was not pilgrimage, really, but I look forward to getting back home. And I remember the one time we had, especially, it was one of our hardest times over there on the ELD programs. And we got home... And I came through, we got to come through, you know, what do you call it? Not security, but into the U.S., immigrant into the U.S. And the officer was so kind, and he looked at me after I was, and he says, welcome home. And it brought tears to my eyes. I thought about someday meeting God in heaven, a God who says, welcome home. Will it be that way? Welcome home. It was so beautiful to hear him say that. And he said it so cheerfully. Welcome home. Wow. I couldn't believe that. But now, there's one little thing. Love not. Let's read this here. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. Get this, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's why we're on pilgrimage. And the world passeth away. We don't want to be there when that happens. And the lust thereof, oh, all those sins that have been so hard to overcome. And the lust thereof passes away too. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, there's a little thing. I wish we had a little more time. But at home I did this. I don't see an eraser. Yeah, here it is. And people have asked already, what are the things of the world that we're talking about there? What are we talking about when we say that? And it's hard to, you know, you can say, well, you should know. Yeah, we should know. But I've said already, one of the ways you're going to identify them is, what's in heaven? Well, we're supposed to set our sights on heaven. What's in heaven? And at home, I did this with our little group. It was really impressive. I mean, they just popped them off. But I want you to give me, let's just write some down. What is in heaven? Give me some. Let's give some. Come on. Quickly.
Glory to God.
Glory. I'm going to write just glory. So at the same time. What else?
Praise.
Praise. What else?
Angels.
Have you read Revelations?
You said angels.
Angels. Praise the Lord. Oh boy, I hope I spelled this right. Is it wrong? What's
EOS?
Like this. I'm scared of that. What else? Let's go. Let's name some. Come on, let's pop them off. What else is in heaven?
The Lamb.
What?
The Lamb.
The Lamb. Okay. Linden says beauty. The Lamb. I'm gonna start over. Jesus. Lyndon says beauty. Lyndon's a better speller than me in school. What else?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. I'm going to go put life here. What else? Streets of gold. So you're saying gold isn't wrong in this world, is it? What else?
Could God be love?
Well, we're going to put that one up here, love.
No pain.
No pain. I'm so glad you're getting practical. No pain. I need to just put that over here in a new spot so you can really see that. I thought of that so much. No pain or sorrow. What else? Come on, let's go.
Peace and joy.
Peace and joy. Hallelujah. I think we can add that one right on here. There's a big one that I really hope somebody says. I mean, these are all big.
Safety.
Safety.
Freedom.
And that's one, that's the other big one I was hoping. No, I'm just going to put no more. It's freedom from sin. You're right. Maybe I got to start over here. Then you might just repeat them. But freedom from sin. I was going to put no sin, but I thought about freedom. Temptations we could put on there. Anyone else? God will be there. Well, I'm... Okay, you heard that? God will be on the throne.
Saints who have gone before.
Pardon?
Saints who have gone before.
Saints. Can you spell that for me?
A-I-N-S.
Saints who have gone before. We'll just leave that off.
Right to the tree of life.
The tree of life. I love it. There you go. The tree of life. I'm just going to put the tree of life. There's still one more. I'm surprised no one has said. What's it going to say about Jesus being there? I think I'm right on this.
There'll be no night there. No night.
No darkness. What? How do you know?
Revelation says.
What's going to be the light?
Christ.
Jesus, the light. So we could add all that on, but it's going to be light there. And you know, you young men and young women and children, you love to carry a flashlight when it's dark, don't you? You don't like going out there when it's dark. Now, you think about the coyotes howling and all the wolves. That's the greediest wolf. Okay, I'm going to stop with that. Now, I wonder, as you think about what we wrote, the things that are in heaven, if it gives you some light on what are the things of this world that we need to get away from that don't fit up there. How many things in this world are never going to fit in there? Will that give you some guidance? It just won't fit, will it? There's no sin there. There's saints there. The tree of life. There's light. There's beauty. There's life. There's streets of gold, angels. There's love. There's God. But it should give you some real guidance on what's going to be in heaven, on what's not going to be there. Now, at home, I did this, and then they said, well, sometime you bring something, and let's have what's not going to be in heaven. And we did put some of that down. We did. There's not going to be any sin there. We did put that down. Do I close with prayer? Okay. There was one I really did want to share, Matthew 7. It's 10 after, but I'm going to turn to it. I just want to read this real quick to you. You all know it. I should get all the children to stand up and sing the song with me. But I'm going to just, I want you to look at some of the words Jesus says here in Matthew 7. Verse 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And we got that song we sang. And the rains descended, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. You get it? Fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, I want you to get this little part, and doeth them not. The other one says, and doeth them. And doeth them not. This is faith in Jesus that brings life and groweth, that doeth them not. Now, when you get with it, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and that last little part always grabs my heart, and great was the fall. That is how God looks at a soul that turns back on him. It's a terrible loss to God. The Lord bless. Should we kneel in prayer? How about if we all stand?